शीतोष्णाशुकधुकेषु समासङ्गविवार्जितः. One who is equal to friends and enemies. Who is equal posed in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy. Who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything. Who does not care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A devotee is always free from all bad association. Sometimes one is praised, and sometimes one is defamed. That is the nature of human society. But a devotee is always transcendental to artificial fame and infamy, distress or happiness. He is very patient. He does not speak of anything but the topics about Krishna. Therefore, he is called silent. Silent does not mean that one should not speak. Silent means that one should not speak nonsense. One should speak only essentials. And the most essential speech for the devotee is to speak for the sake of the Supreme Lord. A devotee is happy in all conditions. Sometimes he may get very palatable foodstuffs, sometimes not, but he is satisfied. Nor does he care for any residential facility. He may sometimes live underneath a tree, and he may sometimes live in a very palatial building. He is attracted to neither. He is called fixed, because he is fixed in his determination and knowledge. We may find some repetition in the descriptions of the qualifications of a devotee, but this is just to emphasize the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. Harava bhaktasya kato mahad gunaha. One who is not a devotee has no good qualification. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop. The obstacles which come before us in this material world are very difficult to overcome. Krishna explains, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Dura Mam Evam Ye Pratapadante, that the modes of material nature are being conducted through the power of Maya, which is Krishna's own all-powerful energy. They cannot be overcome. The Jivatma, by his own infinitesimal nature, can never ultimately resist the powers of Mahamaya, which is Krishna's energy.
is material energy.
But Krishna explains that one who surrenders to him can easily cross over all of the obstacles within this material world. In fact, the explanation is that this world is like a vast ocean, and no one with his own arms or legs, however good trained swimmer he may be, can possibly cross the ocean. No man has ever even attempted to do so. Some years back, it was international news that captured everyone's attention when one man, by training for years and years and years, he swam across the English Channel. And the English Channel is just a tiny little strip of water. It is not even visible when you compare it to the vast ocean, whether it be the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean, the Arabian Sea. But this ocean of material existence is a vast, vast, vast ocean. The oceans in this world appear very big. That is ocean of water. But it is explained, above these oceans of water, there is an ocean of space. And in this ocean, all the planets are floating. And we know, what is the distance between one planet and another? With all sorts of incredible devices, they are trying to reach some other planets. And some of the nearer planets, they say, if we travel with the highest speeds of our rocket ships, they would take 60,000 years to reach it. So there are innumerable planets within the 14 planetary systems floating within this ocean of material existence. And we cannot even attempt to cross even one of these little watery oceans on this tiny little infinitesimal planet, which is only 25,000 miles around. What to speak of crossing the ocean of material existence and going beyond the universe? And then when you go beyond the universe, still, this universe is just floating within another ocean within this material existence. Of all of the innumerable universes that Karanodakshai Vishnu or Mahavishnu has created, they are all floating within the ocean of material existence, beyond. And then you have to cross over all of those oceans, separating all of the universes. And then you get to the river Viraja, which is the border between material existence and spiritual existence. And that is another vast, vast ocean of space to cross over. And you cannot do this with any help. All you have is your own individual endeavor. No rocket ship, no airplane, no motor car can get you anywhere in this way. So therefore, Krishna says, for the Jivatma, it is impossible to cross over this ocean of material existence. But one who surrenders to him can easily cross beyond it. And that is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. The only hope of going beyond the miseries of birth and death and the limitations of material existence is to surrender to Krishna. And what does it mean to surrender to Krishna? He is almighty. He is all power. He is the controller of material existence. If he, by his supreme will, takes you out of this material existence, then you are free. Otherwise, there is no hope. You can develop so many great, great powers through the process of mysticism. You can cultivate incredible libraries worth of knowledge, but none of them will help you in any way to cross over the ocean of material existence. Only the mercy of Krishna. And how to surrender to Krishna? What does it mean? We have to first understand that Krishna is a person. He is not just an impersonal, formless, conceptual idea that is beyond. Krishna is a person. You cannot surrender to some person. To surrender means to put aside your own will for the pleasure of the Supreme Will. Therefore, Krishna establishes himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That his form is absolute, his personality is absolute, his pastimes are absolute. Everything about Krishna is eternal. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karanakaranam. Krishna's body, we have seen his pictures, we have heard the songs describing how he stands in his threefold bending form with eyes like blooming lotus petals, beautiful hair like blackened silk cascading down his beautiful shoulders, bedecked with peacock feather, complexion like the beautiful, beautiful cloud that brings about life of water, rains of his mercy. This form is eternal. It is full of knowledge. It is full of bliss. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. This form is the source of everything that exists. All incarnations of Godhead, all of the demigods, all of the planets, all living entities, all jivatmas are emanations coming from the form of God. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karanakaram. It is the cause of all causes, the source of everything. This is Krishna. And his wonderful pastimes in the spiritual world beyond this material existence, beyond the Brahma Jyoti of the impersonal existence, there in the spiritual world, these pastimes are forever being enacted. And when the Supreme Lord descends into this material world, he reveals those activities, those loving relationships, he reveals that form that are eternally manifested to those whose hearts are pure in the transcendental spiritual sky. That is Krishna. Unless we understand Krishna in this way, there is no question of surrendering to Krishna. So many philosophers talk about surrendering to God. But unless we accept his eternal, transcendental form and personality, surrender is meaningless. To surrender means to please a person. It is not like the surrender of this world. In this world, when we are defeated, simply to survive, we may surrender. During the various wars, World War I, World War II, when your country is bombed and your army is destroyed and you're hopeless and you're on your hands and knees and you're about to be exterminated, you surrender. But that surrender is not out of love. It is not to please your enemy. It is just out of survival and defeat. But in Krishna consciousness, Krishna teaches in Gita that surrender means by always hearing Krishna's glories, which are eternal, by hearing his wonderful, wonderful pastimes and relationships with his devotees, which are eternal, by hearing descriptions of the beauty of his form, the beauty of his abode, the holy dham, by rendering service with all of our mind and senses, and by regularly chanting the holy names, gradually Krishna manifests himself from within our consciousness by his own sweet will, because he is pleased with our devotional efforts. And when Krishna is pleased by our devotional efforts, and as he reveals himself, we become completely defeated. Defeated by his beauty. Defeated by his sweetness. Defeated by his love and his mercy. And we fall down and we surrender in utter defeat. But that is a surrender of pure, unconditional love. That is the perfection of religion. Not to simply fear God's wrath. That is a very preliminary stage for very naughty people. But to surrender in total love, defeated by the unlimited glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna here explains what type of person is really a devotee who pleases him, to whom Krishna reveals his supreme, all-attractive excellences. One who is simply detached from all of the phenomenal conditions of this world and attached to pleasing him under all circumstances. Krishna consciousness is not developed due to our feelings about the particular circumstances that we face in life. In the advanced stages, then our feelings are pure. Then we have to take them very seriously. But when we are conditioned by the modes of material nature, we should know that our feelings are very, very much conditioned by our own selfish interests. And therefore we simply do not take them seriously. We take one seriously. Are we performing the activities with a sincere motivation to please Krishna? This means we have to be very steady and very regulated in performing our devotional activities under the direction of proper spiritual master, under the direction of senior Vaishnavas, as Krishna has ordained. Krishna has explained that the Yuga Dharma is the chanting of the holy names, and through his representatives in the disciplic succession, they teach us how to chant the holy names. We should chant guarding against these 10 offenses. We should learn these 10 offenses, and we should sincerely endeavor to improve ourselves accordingly. And we should chant the number of rounds that we are asked to chant every day with great, great care and concentration according to our capacity. Our mind may be running, our mind may be galloping, our mind may be taking airplanes and rocket ships to so many different places. And not only may it, but it will. Unless you're some paramhamsa, it will. And therefore, we cannot be discouraged by that. We have to train the mind. And Krishna is told by Arjuna that this mind is more difficult to control than the raging wind. Can you control the wind? If you cannot control the wind, then there's no chance of controlling your mind, because the mind is far more powerful than the wind. Not just this wind that the fan is creating, but cyclone winds. If you remember, many of us, we went to Setu Bandha, Rameshwaram, in South India, from where Sri Ramchandra arranged the bridge of stones to go across the Indian Ocean to Sri Lanka to rescue Sita Devi. And some years ago, there was a cyclone. At one time, there was a beautiful town there. There was railway station, railway tracks, there was churches and temples and homes and hotels. Everything was there. And then a cyclone came. It didn't stay for long. It just shot through. It was just there for a couple minutes. Then it went on. Cyclones don't stop in one place. They just push through. And within seconds, everything was totally demolished. Nothing survived. The Indian army has the second largest army in the whole world. Why didn't they come and shoot their guns and protect? Because even with all the millions of soldiers of the Indian army, they have no power to do anything to protect against the raging wind. And Arjuna declares that the mind is far more difficult to control than the wind. And as soon as we start chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, the mind starts moving elsewhere. In fact, not only when we're chanting, but anything we do, the mind is always trying to go somewhere else. So Krishna explains, by constant practice and detachment, Ragadvesha Vimuktaishtu Vishayanandriyaishtaranatma Vishayavidheyatma Prasadamarigachtati. By just regularly trying to follow the principles that Krishna has given us through Guru Maharaj, and by just being sincere in our effort, we attract Krishna, we please Krishna. And for Krishna, the wind is not difficult to control. Krishna tells Vayu, stop, and Vayu offers his prostrated obeisances. And he takes all of his energies and all of his winds, and they all offer their obeisances. For Krishna, the mind, all he has to do is he just has to appear for a second within our minds. And our minds will be completely conquered. They will fall at Krishna's lotus feet forever. They will never even have the slightest tendency to go elsewhere. But Krishna wants to see that this is what we want more than anything else before he will reveal himself within our heart and conquer our minds. He wants to see that in this short little lifetime, we are willing to make a struggle for his sake. He's asking very little to give us so much. We think it's so much, but in comparison, it is nothing. Krishna explains in Gita that he helps his devotees. He will always help his devotees. If you just ananya chintayanto maam, Krishna says, I will preserve what you have, I will carry what you lack, if you just try your best under proper direction. So by our sincere effort of following the regulative principles in Krishna consciousness, we please Krishna. And that pleasing of Krishna is surrender. And gradually Krishna gives us the opportunity for deeper and deeper and deeper offerings of surrender, as we become more and more purified by our sincere efforts. And that is our concern. And such a devotee who surrenders becomes so dear to Krishna that anything in connection to that devotee receives special inconceivable mercy of the Lord. So in the Holy Scriptures, there are many wonderful narrations describing the love between the Lord and his devotees. And sometimes these relationships are very, very inconceivable to us because they are enacted on the spiritual platform. But simply by hearing about them with a submissive heart, we gradually become purified. Why? Because we please Krishna by hearing. All purification comes only when we please Krishna. You can listen to Bhagavad Katha, Ramayan Katha, Mahabharat Katha, all forms of Hari Katha, but if you're not doing it in a way that's pleasing to Krishna, then there'll be no purification through any of that Katha. In fact, you could be chanting millions and millions of names of the Lord, but if you're not pleasing Krishna in the way you're doing it, there'll be no spiritual effect. So therefore, we have to hear in the right frame of mind from the right people, and then Krishna is pleased to actually manifest himself within that sound vibration and purify your heart. And Krishna is very pleased when we anxiously, submissively, eagerly, greedily want to hear the glories of his devotees and his mercy upon his devotees. We should be greedy for this. Just like materialistic people are greedy for money and greedy for prestige and greedy for other forms of sense gratification. Devotees are greedy to hear about Krishna. They have greed to chant his name. They have greed to serve Guru and Gauranga and give Krishna consciousness to others. There was one devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name, Murari Gupta. He was incarnation of Sri Hanumanji from Lord Ramchandra's Leela. This evening I would like to vibrate the transcendental vibration of some of the glories of this great devotee and the Lord's love for him. Because this narration will purify everyone's heart. It will purify the heart of the speaker, and it will purify the heart of all the listeners. You see, in Krishna Katha, in this great science, the speaker never thinks that I'm great and you're small and I'm going to purify you. If we think like that, then it's better that we go somewhere else. Because this is not the consciousness by which Krishna will reveal himself through anyone's mouth. We find all the great acharyas, they are simply repeating the eternal message of the Lord's teachings and glories, and they are speaking it for their own purification, as well as for the purification of everyone. Because the sound vibration as it is coming down through the descending process of parampara is all pure. And when we speak it, we become pure. And as we're speaking it, we're hearing, so we're becoming pure. And everybody else who's hearing is becoming pure. So it is all the mercy of the Lord. It is all the mercy of the previous acharyas. So one day, Murari Gupta came to the house of Srivas Thakur. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was sitting down and Lord Nityananda Prabhu was sitting on his right side. So Murari Gupta offered his prostrated obeisance at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya smiled and said, "Murari, why you are offering obeisances like this? Do you not know the proper etiquette?" And Murari Gupta did not understand what the Lord was talking about. He said, "My Lord, I am only doing what my heart tells me to do." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, "I will teach you the proper method tomorrow." So Murari Gupta, he went home. He was happy and fearful, and he went to sleep. And when he was asleep, he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he was in the form of Lord Balaram. He had a plow over his shoulder. Ananta Shesha was over his head. Because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna incarnate, and Lord Nityananda is Balaram incarnate. So when he saw this beautiful, beautiful form of Balaram walking majestic, like the king of all transcendental kings, and behind him was Lord Chaitanya in the form of Krishna with a peacock feather on his head. And he smiled at Murari Gupta and said, "Don't you see? He is my elder brother." And then both Balaram Krishna, Nitai Gauranga, they smiled at Murari Gupta and disappeared. And then Murari Gupta woke up, and when he woke up, he was in tremendous ecstasy. He was calling out, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." And his wife came running, and she started chanting, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." Then that morning, he went to Srivasa's house, and Nityananda Prabhu was sitting at the right side of Lord Chaitanya. And he went and he offered his full obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Understand that Balaram or Nityananda Prabhu is also the original spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach us that we should always approach Krishna through Guru Maharaj. That is the etiquette of Vaishnava humility. Never to think that we should approach Krishna directly. So Murari Gupta offered his prostrated obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu, then he offered his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing? Why you offered to Nityananda first?" And Murari Gupta said, "I am just following whatever you have taught me. Like a piece of straw in the wind, I go wherever the wind goes. Similarly, I am just your insignificant servant. Whatever is your will, I must do." So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Murari Gupta for offering obeisances first to his devotee, Nityananda Prabhu. And Gadadhar Pandit was sitting on his right side, and he was giving Lord Chaitanya betel nuts. We do not eat betel nuts, but Krishna eats betel nuts because he's Krishna, and we are servants of his servants. So Lord Chaitanya was chewing on betel nuts, and he took some out of his mouth and he gave to Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta very respectfully took them with his hands with all saliva around it, and he put it in his own mouth and began to eat it, and he became ecstatic in love of God eating these remnants from the Lord's mouth. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Murari Gupta, you are a Brahmin. Now you go wash your hands," because the Lord's saliva was on his hands. He says, "You go wash your hands." So Murari Gupta rubbed his hands on his head. And Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing? You have just lost your caste." This is not proper cleanliness like this. But then Lord Chaitanya went into the mood of Krishna, which he would sometimes do. And he started explaining that this transcendental form of mine is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva. It is glorified by Shukadeva and Narada. It is the supreme object of the meditation of everyone. And he explained, in Varanasi there is a Mayavadi sannyasi, and he is claiming that this form is an illusion. "Although out of causeless mercy I descend into this material world and reveal my wonderful pastimes, anyone who hears these pastimes or hears my name will become liberated from the cycle of birth and death and achieve my abode. Anyone who meditates on my form will achieve pure love of God." And he is saying, my form is illusion, my pastimes are illusion, my names are illusion, my abode is illusion, my devotees are illusion. All things related to me are eternal. And one who understands this principle and worships all things related to me is purified and attains my eternal service. And then he embraced Murari Gupta. Haribol. Very auspicious. Can you hear? You can hear, but I cannot think. But I will try my best. Krishna's, Guru Maharaj's mercy. So Murari Gupta was very, very ecstatic. And he went home. Murari Gupta's wife was a very, very great and pure Vaishnavi, of the same caliber as Murari Gupta himself. So she had lunch prepared for him. So she had nice rice and nice ghee from cows. And she served it to Murari Gupta. And he took the rice and he mixed it up with the ghee. And he was in such ecstasy, because he just ate the remnants of the Lord's food and was embraced. He was in such love that he just took the rice and ghee in his hand and was sitting on the floor, and he said, "Krishna, eat, eat, eat!" And then he threw the rice and ghee on the floor. And then he took another handful and said, "Eat, eat!" and threw it on the floor. And another handful, "Krishna, eat!" and threw it on the floor. And he was throwing, all over the room he was throwing rice and ghee. And his wife was watching this with a great smile, and she was chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
But she knew that whatever Murari Gupta did was done with pure devotion, and that Krishna was accepting this very unusual type of offering. So after he threw all the rice on the floor, he said, "Bring me more." And his wife brought him more rice and ghee, and he mixed it up and started throwing it. "Eat, eat, eat, Krishna, eat, eat," throwing it on the floor everywhere. And then she brought more and more and more and more. The next morning, very early, Lord Chaitanya came to Murari Gupta's house. And Murari Gupta asked, "Why you have come to my house early in the morning?" Lord Chaitanya said, "I am sick and I need medicine." Because Murari Gupta was a Hare Krishna medical. He was an Ayurvedic doctor by profession. So Murari Gupta said, "Oh, you have some sort of indigestion? What did you eat that caused this indigestion?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "You rascal, you know I have indigestion. And you know why I have indigestion. Maybe you don't know, but your wife knows." He said, "Because you were offering me all that food, all that bhoga, rice with ghee, and you were throwing it on the floor, and I was eating it. And there was so much rice, so much ghee from the floor, I was accept." He said, "Whatever you offered was with such love, I must accept whatever you offer." And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Because your food has given me indigestion, your water is my cure." And there was a cup of water that Murari Gupta, it was his own drinking cup that he was drinking water from. And Lord Chaitanya took the water drunk by Murari Gupta from his cup, and he drank it. "This will be the cure of my indigestion." And when Murari Gupta saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead drinking his remnants from his cup, he fell unconscious to the ground. And all of Murari Gupta's family was just weeping and crying to see what kind of love the Lord has for his devotee. He's taking the remnants of his devotee. He's drinking from the cup of his devotee. And at that time, all the servants and maidservants in Murari Gupta's house, upon seeing Lord Chaitanya's love for his devotee, they received such a mercy, they all became pure devotees. They were all ecstatically chanting the holy name. And it is said in this connection that the mercy that Lord Chaitanya gave to the very simple, poor servants and maidservants and the servants of the maidservants and servants in Murari Gupta's house is a mercy he did not give even to the biggest scholars and Bhattacharyas in Nadia. That by high learning, by wealth, by fame, one cannot get the mercy of the Lord. There is only one way to get the mercy of the Lord, and that is to be a servant or a maidservant of a Vaishnava. If we receive their blessings, if we please the devotees and become dear to the devotees, then only can we receive the true mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and receive bhakti or devotion. Receiving great scholarship you can do by ordinary means. Receiving mystic powers where you can perform many, many supernatural feats is something you can do by your own efforts. But receiving bhakti is only given by the Lord when we become the servant of the servant or the maidservant of the maidservant of a Vaishnava. Then Krishna awards his mercy. So all the devotees in the house of Murari Gupta, the family, the workers, everyone was just ecstatically engrossed in weeping and chanting Krishna's holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Ananti Gauri Vaishnava Brinda ki. Should I tell another story? One day Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Srivas Pandit, and he was in a very exceptional mood, and he manifested his forearm form of Narayan, holding conch shell, chakra, gada, and lotus. And he called out, "Garuda, Garuda, where is Garuda?" And Murari Gupta was anxious to serve the Lord in any way. So he happened to just come into Murari Gupta, to Srivas's house. And he said, "I am Garuda, I am Garuda, I have come." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Garuda, Garuda." And Murari Gupta said, "I am here, I am here." He said, I have taken you to Indraloka to steal the Parijata flower for your consort, Satyabhama. And I took you to Vanapur, and there we defeated Shiva and Skanda in battle in the fight with Banasura." He said, "Now I have come, get on my shoulders and tell me which universe you want me to take you." There you go. It says anyone who hears this pastimes will achieve love of God in due course of time, so you should listen very carefully. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped on the shoulders of Murari Gupta, who was in the mood of Garuda, and they started running around the courtyard of Srivas. They went outside and started running this way, that way. And Lord Chaitanya was rocking back and forth, and it was ecstatic. And when the devotees saw this exchange of love, they were just falling to the ground and weeping, and they were just crying out, "Jai Gauranga, Jai Murari Gupta." And they were just having an incredible, ecstatic kirtan, just celebrating this wonderful event of seeing the love between Lord Chaitanya and Murari Gupta. This way they were resounding in a most beautiful and devotional way the beautiful sounds of the holy name. And all the lady devotees who were in the courtyard, they were all together, and they were just watching with tears flowing from their eyes, this as Murari Gupta in the mood of Garuda was running around everywhere, here, there, and everywhere, with Lord Chaitanya ecstatically riding on his shoulders, and they all began to chant the holy names. And then Murari Gupta ran inside the house. And then they both became out of that particular type of ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya came down off of his shoulders. And Murari Gupta came out of the mood of Garuda. And everyone began beautiful kirtan, dancing, chanting the holy name. According to the necessity or the will or the desire of the Lord, the devotee is willing to accept any mood and any service to satisfy him. That is one thing we can learn from this wonderful pastime. And also, the Lord can empower us to do anything to serve him if it is his will and we are willing and anxious to serve. There is nothing that any jivatma cannot do if the Lord empowers him to do it. And what is the qualification? That we are simply willing to please him and serve him in any way according to his desire. To be a totally surrendered, egoless instrument in his hands. And this was the quality and the nature of Murari Gupta in this story. One day, Murari Gupta was thinking about how Krishna descends in this world in so many incarnations. And he was very much troubled in heart, because he was thinking, I cannot understand why the Lord performs the pastimes that he does. He creates, then he destroys. He appeared as Lord Ram, and his beloved Sita, who was so chaste, faithful wife, she was captured by Ravana. And he searched and he searched. He made alliance with Sugriva and Hanumanji. And then he fought this terrible, terrible war in Sri Lanka. And ultimately, he defeated Ravana. He killed him and he destroyed the entire Rakshasa dynasty. And then after all of this, he banished Sita to the forest for the rest of her life. And in his incarnation of Krishna, in his original form, he moved from Vrindavan to Dwarka, where he was Yadu Nath. And there, he sat patiently, peacefully, and watched as the whole Yadu dynasty had a fratricidal war, and they all destroyed each other. Now that same Krishna has appeared again as Lord Chaitanya. And I do not know what he's going to do. So I should give up my life before he decides to give up his and go back to the spiritual world. The Lord never gives up his life, but he leaves this world. But before he leaves, he does all extraordinary things. So Murari Gupta was thinking, I don't want to see this, whatever it may be. I will leave my body tonight, while Lord Chaitanya is still here having his wonderful Sankirtan pastimes. So he made this promise in his heart. And he went out and he got a very, very sharp knife that's used to cut conch shells. And he put it in his house in a secret place and decided, tonight I will take my life. But Lord Chaitanya is in the heart of every living being. He is the Paramatma. He knows our every thought, our every desire, our every word. So just at that time, Lord Chaitanya appeared. He just walked to the house of Murari Gupta. And he said to Murari Gupta, I have an instruction for you. And Murari Gupta replied, my body belongs to you. Whatever you instruct me, I must do. And Lord Chaitanya said, is that true?
Do you mean that? And he said, yes, I am your property. So Lord Chaitanya whispered in his ear, get me that knife. And Murari Gupta looked at it. He said, Lord Chaitanya said, get me that knife that you have gotten to take your life tonight. And Murari Gupta became very upset. He said, hi! Who told you this? Who said I have a knife to take my life? Who told you this lie? And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and said, you are so unintelligent. I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. I'm the Lord in everyone's heart. I've created everything. I made that knife. And I gave you that knife. He said, your body is my property. He said, why you want to destroy my property? He said, I have so many pastimes I want to perform through you. Why you want to end your life? Why you want to cause me such suffering? You are more dear to me than my very life. And then Lord Chaitanya, he directly went into Murari Gupta's house. And he went right to where the knife was. And he came out and he took it. And then Lord Chaitanya told Murari Gupta that my instruction to you is this, that you forever give up the thought of ever ending your life. And you remain always with me, engaging in my loving service. And then Murari Gupta fell at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya touched his head with his own hand. And Murari Gupta began to bathe Lord Chaitanya's feet with his tears. And Lord Chaitanya lifted him up and embraced him. And bathed his body with his own tears. This is the love between the Lord and his devotees. A devotee has no reason to live in this material world, save and except for the purpose of serving the Lord. We should not be attached to this body. We should not be attached to our homes. We should not be attached to anything of this world. But we should be attached to the service of the Lord. And we should be willing to utilize this body and utilize our family members and utilize our homes and utilize whatever we have in that service. That type of attachment is the highest principle of renunciation. It is pure devotional service. To utilize everything for the will of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, in love for the Lord. And this is the message that was brought to this world by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, and it was revealed through his wonderful relationships with his devotees. And even today, if we have a sincere desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord and his devotees, we can be a part of the Lord's transcendental pastimes of spreading love of God throughout the world. Anyone who sincerely and properly chants Krishna's holy names throughout their life will naturally awaken pure love. So it is the greatest, most wonderful pastime to assist the Lord's servants in spreading the transcendental glories of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And one of the most important and essential ways of assisting the Lord in this way is by coming together with other Vaishnavas and with great, great enthusiasm to participate in this wonderful process of Harinam Sankirtan. By loudly chanting sincerely with dedicated devotees, we can create a purification in the atmosphere that will have a tremendous effect to bring peace and love to the whole world. And we can create a unity amongst ourselves which will make our mission of compassion unconquerable and empowered to be instrumental in so many ways to give Krishna prema to others. Tomorrow is a very special holy day. It is the appearance day of Janava Devi, the consort of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and it is also the appearance day of Sita Devi, the eternal consort of Lord Sri Ramchandra. So in the morning, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple tomorrow, we will be giving a class on the glories of Sri Janava Devi, the consort of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So if you want to get specially purified, please come for Srimad Bhagavatam class tomorrow. And tomorrow evening in the big program, which is at August Kranti Maidan, we will be speaking on the glories of Sita Devi, the eternal consort of Lord Sri Ramchandra. So please attend that also, if possible. And tonight, let us end the program with congregational chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra.